Good morning. This week I want to turn our attention to the mind of Christ in the family. What does this look like? The mind of Christ is possessed by every believer. It is about us being filled with the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that we are in communion with Christ, doing what Jesus instructed us to do and thinking His thoughts after Him. It is about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. When this is evident in our families, we will see great change. The passage of focus today is Ephesians 5, 21 to chapter 6, verse 4. But allow me to read verses 28 to 30. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Father does the church. For we are members of his body. The word of the Lord. We are seeing a fight against the family and the natural order of the family as God ordained it. The fight is coming from those who want to dismantle the patriarchy, which in turn seek to undermine biblical headship in the family. We are seeing hurt, unforgiveness, abuse in all forms, domestic violence, lies, guilt, infidelity, betrayal, and broken families, just to name a few. We are seeing all of these plaguing our families. The fight is also coming from those who want to eradicate God's way for the family, which is marriage between one man and one woman. And they want to introduce a degenerate and immoral lifestyle by completely going against God's way. And still, the fight is coming from those who decide to have 3 or 6 children with several different women and spending little to no time with each, and not to mention the ever-increasing rate of abortion in the Caribbean and the world. The family is under a real fight by these and other maladies, and it is against this context we are called to have the mind of Christ, where it is evidenced in our families. Now, it is important to note that it is God who establishes marriage in the family. God designed marriage. God made marriage possible. God gave us the parameters for marriage. He did not make many women from Adam's rib. He made one. Marriage is between one man and one woman. God organized the family. We need to recover the belief that God's purpose for and instruction of the family is a vital aspect of life in this world. We need to affirm in our generation that God created the family as an important element of the outworking of His eternal purposes. God created the family to give structure and order to us, made in His image and likeness. The family provides the essential labor of teaching and preparation of children for churches, communities, cultures, and nations. God created the family in order to pass the gospel from one generation to the next. God designed the family to be a living demonstration of various aspects of the glory of the gospel and the embodiment of biblical truths. It is no wonder that Satan would attack right there. Let us get our houses in order. Let us dance a yard before we go abroad. Let us fix our homes before we go about fixing others. Our families are in danger and breaking apart. This is no time for me, myself, and I. Let us get back together in love and unity. One love, one heart. Let's get together and live right. No more fighting. No more betrayal. No more hurt and quarrels. Let peace and unity reign in our families. May the Lord bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. May He remove every hurt and unforgiveness and bind up all our wounds. For the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Psalm 34 verse 18. To this extent, the passage in Ephesians 5 verse 21 to chapter 6 verse 4 helps clarify what the roles in the family are, and that when we have the mind of Christ to fulfill these roles, our families would be walking in the Lord's will. Now, firstly, the passage calls for submission. Submission here is used to reflect a continuous sense, not a one-time act. Submission must be done out of reverence for Christ. As believers, we are responsible to submit to God. which is the only way we can truly obey Him. And each Christian should live in humble, ready submission to others. A wife is to submit to one man, her own husband, not to every man. The rule to submit does not extend to a woman's place in society at large. A wife is to willingly submit to her husband in personal obedience to the Lord Jesus. She submits to her husband because she loves Jesus. The example of a wife's submission is that of the church to Christ. It is also emblematic of Christ's submission to the Father's will. Secondly, the submission of the wife to the husband does not allow the husband to be selfish or domineering. His command is to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He is responsible before God to fulfill that command. This love is a sacrificial love. The husband must exercise his authority wisely, graciously, and in the fear of God, to whom he must give an account. When a wife is loved by her husband, as the church is loved by Christ, submission is not difficult. In a marriage, submission is a position of giving honor and respect to the husband. It is also the husband's duty to love and cherish his wife. This is God's wise plan for how the family should function. Finally, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obeying one's parents is a direct command from God. It may be challenging for children to learn to obey and honor their parents. For some children, it's harder than others. But there is a good reason for this command. God's design is for children to learn to honor and obey their parents as they grow up so that they can live wisely. As they learn respect at home, they will respect others appropriately when they leave the home. As children have a responsibility to obey their parents, parents have a responsibility to instruct their children in the ways of God. Our ultimate responsibility is to love and obey God above all else. Wives, submit to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The immediate context of the commands to the husband, to the wife, children, in this passage, involves the filling of the Spirit. Spirit-filled believers are to be worshipful, thankful, and submissive. Spirit-filled believers are to have the mind of Christ and follow his pattern of obedience.